Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say astonishing, tremendous, a triumph of savings.
Are you talking about Death of a Unicorn?
No, Sergey. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare the Market.
Oh.
But you can use this magnificent offer to see Death of a Unicorn only in cinemas.
Woohoo!
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product to Compare the Market. One membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dan in sports, I'm your host, Kenneth Meehan. Joining me on the show, we have Shelton, FIFO, Spike, and Nick.
What up?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Well, the NFC Championship games were Sunday, and the Super Bowl match is set. We will recap all of those games and get into some more information about the upcoming matchup. But before we do all of that, let's talk about the offseason for some of the teams, as we have had some more moves with organizations. So while the NFL playoffs have been ongoing for the past few weeks, the official NFL season has already begun for the other 30 teams, with coaching hires being a significant focus. Pete Carroll is now the head coach of the Raiders. Ben Johnson is the head coach of the Bears. Brian Schottenheimer is the head coach of the Cowboys. And Aaron Glenn is the new head coach of the Jets. Which new head coach faces the most pressure to deliver positive results heading into next season?
Spike should take this one.
he actually shouldn't know, FIFO, because this one's actually easy.
Yeah, there ain't no pressure on him. He just got to show up and do what Jerry Jones wanted him to do. Show up and do what I tell you every day.
it's obviously Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was, and for obvious reasons, and the reasons why I say that is because you have a quarterback who was drafted number one ahead of Jaden Daniels. He's behind the eight ball now because we saw Jaden Daniels, you know, reach some superior levels that's never been done before. And you're saying that Ben Johnson, who was the catalyst to the vaunted offense in Detroit, is going to be the savior in Chicago. And the coach that they've been waiting on all this time, it's always been the coach. That's what everybody's pointed to with them not being successful. So you bring in a Ben Johnson who, for all intents and purposes, was highly touted as probably the best assistant coach in sports. So he's going to have to come in and make a difference right away. You were a coach away from the playoffs, according to most people. So he's got the pressure to come in. Ain't no pressure on Schottenheimer because, like we said, Jerry runs everything. So it's his pick. It's his choice. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing that was done other than just being a person that's going to answer to him. So as long as he's answering to Jerry, Jerry's the coach. Jerry's the coach of the Cowboys. So there's no pressure there. Aaron Glenn, depends on who his quarterback's going to be. You don't really know his situation like that. So we really don't know. Pete Carroll is 90 years old. Ain't nobody counting on him to come in and do nothing with the Raiders, but kind of give them some stability. Mm-hmm. But you're expected results in Chicago right now.
What do results look like, Sheldon, before you go, FIFO?
What should it look like, or what is it going to look like?
What does it look like for you, just for you?
It's tough to say, Nick, because he is a first-year coach. I like what he did. Like I said, I watched that offense in Detroit, and I was impressed. But we all know it's a totally different ball game when you become a head coach. But that team should definitely make the playoffs. At this point, wow, they should make the playoffs.
Okay.
Next year in Ben Johnson's first year? I just want to make sure I understand.
Yes. Oh, wow. He has veteran leadership. You got a good defense. The defense was never the problem.
Every team in the division made the playoffs.
And what you say about the team, that division in the chat, Lou? First thing you said with that division in the chat, you said that division was overrated and garbage because they all lost in the first round or their first playoff game.
Right, he got veteran leadership around him. You got all the weapons on. You got defense. You got a defense. That's the first step. and you got veteran leadership all around that offense. If you can retain that offensive talent, build on the offensive line through the draft, you got all the pieces you need to be successful. Swift is a good back, good enough back to get it done. It's just your quarterback. If he can get it done and he got the tutelage from the best of the best, we saw what he did with Jared Goff. He can do that with Jared Goff. He should be able to do it with Caleb Williams, right? So there you go.
I don't think so. So here's the thing, Shelton. I don't disagree with you with your pick as to who has the most pressure. I do agree that there are more expectations on Ben Johnson because he was the hottest coach coming into the coaching carousel, right, for 2 years running now. Last year, he was the hottest name. This year, he's the hottest name. Yes, he lands in Chicago with a rookie or soon to be a second-year quarterback that has all of the potential in the world. So I don't disagree. Here's the thing that I do say that Ben Johnson has in his favor. He obviously knows this division, and he obviously made the Lions weaker because it looks like the Lions, I know with the defensive coordinator, they upgraded from within. They moved the linebackers coach into the defensive coordinator position. I don't know what they're going to do with the OC yet. And also what Ben Johnson did was he hired the O-line coach from Detroit, and now he's in Chicago. So we know where they're going to start. In terms of DeAndre Swift, I don't think he's a bad back, by no means necessary. He's definitely not Jahmyr Gibbs, but now we're talking about a very strong running back draft class, right? So they can go tackle and add a second running back through the draft if they would like. O-line is going to be the thing. In terms of their success, how do you measure success? I think even being a fringe football playoff team would be success for them. Because the thing that we need to see in Chicago is stability in the offense. Because we've never worried about Chicago's defense for 30, 40 years. The defense has always been solid, even when they're an overall bad team. The offense has never had a 4,000-yard pass. I don't know if Caleb got 4,000 yards this year. You can look it up. You can fact check me. But what does the offense look like? Because that's what they hired Ben Johnson for. Does it look like it's something that they could build upon? Does it look like, oh, they have situational football awareness? Those are the things, because what happened during Thanksgiving? You know what I'm saying? Those type of scenarios can't happen again. So to me, whether they make the playoffs or not, it's more so, do they look like a functioning football program over there? And if they do, and they are on the cusp, week 17, they got to win one of those divisional games, and they lose, or week 18, and they lose, but it's a close game. Like, to me, it's not always if you win or you lose. It's what does it look like when you do? And as long as they look fine, I'm cool with that. And I think that everybody will be okay with that. Now, if it looks like a dumpster fire, like Eberflus and Matt Nagy and everybody else before them, you know, Caleb Williams goes down in a heap of flame. You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to take a lot of blame. So does Ben Johnson. So to me, success is just measured on, does it look better than it is this going to be the best version of the Bears that we've ever seen on offense? And that's what it just needs to be.
Caleb Williams didn't even have 3,600 yards passing.
Okay. So they never had a 4,000 yard passer. So get Caleb there, because what's Jared Goff definitely was there. So you should be able to do it. And to me, that's how you measure success with Ben Johnson in the first year.
The person that I'm saying that's interesting, the disrespect. Well, first of all, I do agree with FIFO and what you're saying. I agree with Shelton. The Bears are going to have to at least look different. I personally don't think that means they have to go to the playoffs in the first year, because it is a tough division. I don't think they're better than the Packers. I don't think they're better than the Lions. And I don't even know if they're better than the Vikings, depending on who's going to play quarterback for them. But I do think, since Ben Johnson was such a high commodity, that he's going to have time. They're going to give him a runway. Like, ain't no hot seat after 1 year. The name that you left off the list that I do think that will be about is down in Jacksonville. You got Liam Cohen. He had the awkward-ass press conference. You have a quarterback who you think, or you've paid, who you think may be good. You're a no-name. People already are questioning the hire. And we know that Jacksonville they'll fire you after 1 year. I think that he has to go and be the most successful out of all of these coaches next year, because Pete Carroll legacy built. We just want you to turn the Raiders around and not this be a shit show. Also, Schottenheimer, again, it's just going to be Jerry Lapdog. So we know he don't have to do much there. And then who else do we have?
Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn. Like, I don't know what I'm doing at quarterback. We all know this owner is insane. This is a good hire, so he's doing the rah-rah stuff that Campbell was doing. I'm not going to knock it this time. If he is able to go out there and implement it in New York, that's fine. But I think they'll give him time, too, because he is a New York Jet. He was drafted by them. So the person that's going to be under the most pressure is Liam Cohen. Like, you, after that, like, even with the press conference yesterday, just starting there, and then nobody knows who you are. He don't look like a head coach. He's going to be under the pressure to do what he has to do because Jacksonville quick to pull the trigger.
So you don't think Aaron Glenn is under any pressure based off of the things that he said? He said that they're going to be able to turn it around quick.
Depends
and
on the
we, and like I you think, just said, the owner is kind of crazy. He out there, he a little cuckoo. And then Aaron Glenn is putting that pressure on himself. Like, I don't feel like he gave himself any leeway.
I think you get leeway because it's the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers comes back next year, they're going to be able to blame it on him again if they're not good. Past that, if he has to get a rookie quarterback or he has to fire, well, I know Sam Darnold wouldn't go there, but let's say he get Justin Fields or something like that, they're going to give him time to work with that. It didn't happen that first year for Dan Campbell either. They weren't really good. We just like, that's what made me call him a rah-rah guy. I think they're going to give him, they're going to let him build momentum because of the attitude that he has.
And because of the history of that team. That team hadn't done anything anyway, so you got a little bit of leeway in there. You don't expect him to come in and turn overnight.
I don't expect that at all, Sheldon, because what he look like compared to them other coaches we talked about? He ain't got the skin tone to get the pass, bro. They fire black head coaches like crazy. So that's why I'm like, and he's in the
calling for his head next year.
I ain't gonna be calling for his head because I actually want to. I'm very neutral on Aaron Glenn, but I do think he has the most pressure because he's in the New York market, because he's for the New York Jets, because they have Aaron Rodgers. A lot of shit can go wrong quick. You know what I'm saying? And they're the only organization this season that fired their head coach before the trade deadline. So it's like, again, they hired him. I would assume they're giving him at least 2 to 3 years because he needs to get his own quarterback. He needs to get his own people in there and build his own culture. He is a former New York Jet. So I do think that he understands the city and understands the media market. But if because of that, he needs to understand, like, bro, if they don't win more than 5-6 games, I could see them being like, what the fuck, we hired this nigga. And if that defense don't look good, because they're going to be like, we could have kept Robert Saleh for all this shit. He won 7 games.
I think they can win 5 or 6 games, though.
Can they? They didn't do – with the roster that they had and Aaron Rodgers, like, again, he had
– they were very poorly ran last year. Aaron Rodgers sucks, too. We saw that. Like, they need to get another –
But, I mean, but you would have thought that going into that no one could – be shittier than Zach Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Going into that position. So we'll see. But I think Aaron Glenn definitely has a lot of pressure. And I think Ben Johnson has the least amount of pressure because niggas like FIFO gonna give him cupcake ass curve ass responses and like, yeah, bro, even though we hyped up the first overall pick and said this thing is gonna be the generational talent, if he at least is a fringe playoff team, fuck all that shit. They gonna give Ben Johnson the easy way out because he has the cachet and the rah-rah. Caleb Williams is coming from quote-unquote bad coaching. But as the number one overall pick, I have playoff expectations for him. I seen what Jaden Daniels did. I seen what Bo Nix did. If Ben Johnson is and both of those teams were led by either a high-end coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury or a high-end head coach offensively in Sean Payton, at least how they're regarded as, to see results coming from off of teams who didn't even make the playoffs the previous year. So in the NFC conference, that's weak as shit. When we get to the, you know, the later topics, we're going to realize how weak as shit the NFC conference is. He should be a playoff. If he's as good as he is and all the weapons they got and all that stuff, they should be a playoff team. The Vikings should not be as good as they were this year, next year, based off what we've seen. So
I caution everybody to use Jaden Daniels as the template because what he did has never really been done before at the level that he's done it. So we like that can't be the new expectation, you know what I'm saying, for young quarterbacks in the league.
I'm just saying playoffs. I ain't saying you got to go to the title game. I just said
I understand that, but you act like the playoffs is just a very simple thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a simple thing. Bro, your team has an MVP candidate and didn't sniff the playoffs.
And are we disappointed? Are we disappointed, or are we making excuses? Are we disappointed or we make excuses? Of course, I'm not making excuses for that. That's a disappointment. No, I'm disappointed in Caleb.
But what? No. Hold on. You mean in Burrow?
I mean, I'm disappointed in the Bengals not making the playoffs, and I'm disappointed in Caleb's rookie season, because all year I heard, before going into the draft, I heard this nigga was supposed to be that nigga.
100%. But look. Every quarterback that you name that is young, right? Bo Nix has Sean Payton, which I told y'all was going to be perfectly fine for him because he's a quarterback coach, right? Bo Nix looked better than everybody except for Spike thought that he was going to look, and they made the playoffs. Jaden Daniels has who at OC? Who did Caleb go?
Don't do that.
The Kingsbury.
What do you mean, don't do that?
Going into the season.
Because everybody here.
No one talked about Kingsbury but me.
Everybody here thought Eberflus was trash, including me. And I thought that Caleb was going to be able to overcome that.
Yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't the case. He wasn't able to overcome Eberflus. Eberflus was trash.
Can I say something real quick about the least, what y'all say? Pete Carroll has the least amount of pressure on him, I feel like, but
yes,
I
do absolutely.
He has the highest upside because you talk about someone who went to USC, turned it around to a powerhouse. Then he went to Seattle; they were irrelevant before he got there. If he can turn the Raiders around, like you start putting Pete Carroll in the conversation with some of the best coaches and like just team builders and organizational builders.
It's really going to depend on what they do at the quarterback position, because you don't have a quarterback right now. You don't have a starting running back. It's a lot of weak areas on there. You got a dominant defense with one of the best defensive players in the league, but you got to start addressing that other side of the ball so he can do some of those things. But you're right. If he can some kind of way get these boys to playing with what he has, that's going to be something.
Start talking about Pete Carroll different. If he can say the Raiders, you got to start talking about him different.
I'm saying this. Jalen Milroe is going to be the steal of the draft. I know y'all niggas be talking shit about
Nick. I got you, Nick.
He's gonna be the steal of the fucking draft.
I understand too, Nick.
Now, caveat depending on where he go,
but it definitely depends on where he go. And it's the same. Yeah.
So now does that matters?
What you mean?
That's it. You heard him, Ken. That's it, right?
It matters for him because he's not coming in as a talented generational talent. That's, you remember the criticism that I've had over quarterbacks the last few years is when people like FIFO come in and talk about Trevor Lawrence and Caleb Williams and say these are generational talents, and I'm the only one nigga holding up the bus saying, hold on, my nigga, let's not talk too early about these niggas.
But you are calling Jalen Milroe generational talent.
I didn't say that. I said he's going to be the steal of the draft. I didn't say that. I'm not saying he's a generational talent. I'm just saying that he is an underrated QB that we're not talking about. People act like this
regardless of generational talent or not,
one and a half.
There, like, you have to have the offensive mind on that side of the ball for them to be successful. And that's the point, regardless if they are generational or not. Pat Mahomes wouldn't be Pat Mahomes without Andy Reid, bro.
Yeah.
And that's as great as he is. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have success anywhere else, but it wouldn't look like seven straight AFC championship games. It wouldn't look like a potential three-peat at a Super Bowl. It doesn't look like that without Andy Reid.
I can agree with that. Can I
say the same thing?
Can I ask you a question, FIFO? Do you think Zach Taylor's a top five offensive mind in the NFL?
No.
That's a trick question.
Why not?
I've already chronicled this over all of the years that we've been doing that in sports. But the main thing is in my opinion, there is no creativity on the offensive side. It is primarily relied on Joe Burrow and his greatness to overcome a lot of deficiencies, not only just from the play calling, play design. That offensive line has been atrocious since the moment he stepped foot there. And they haven't been able to address that. So that has a lot to do with development. That has a lot to do with scouting. That has a lot to do with everything. And to me, it has a lot to do with philosophy. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you look at the Detroit Lions, what was the first thing that they did? They addressed the O-line.
Hold on, Sean. I'm gonna let him talk because he already dug a hole for himself. He don't know what he's saying right now.
Go ahead.
Because my thing is like, we agree that at least what you're saying is that Zach Taylor is not a top five offensive mind, even though he has a top four quarterback in the league who's produced at a top five rate in the league at least. Mm-hmm. So you're saying all that's to Joe Burrow and he's overcome. Yeah, when we talk about Caleb Williams coming into this year, And you knew what Matt Eberflus was, but you thought he could overcome even with the all shitty offensive line, and he didn't do none of that. So are you saying that Caleb Williams needs more coaching than Joe Burrow, even though he's the better talent overall?
I will say
that's not true, though. Joe Burrow is just as much of a generational talent as Caleb Williams.
Joe Burrow's not a generational talent. Joe Burrow's not generational.
Bro, he had argument. What is you talking about?
Serious?
He had the best college year ever. We could make that argument.
That's fine. So did Trevor Lawrence.
Nobody
Trevor
was
Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was in Clemson. Wasn't a generational talent.
Yet
to prove that he wasn't.
I'm saying
Joe Burrow was proven that he was playing under Zach Taylor.
Coming out of college, Trevor Lawrence physically and how he played on the field, like athletically,
he looked really good. Nobody had a better single season than Joe Burrow. And also, wait, hold on. Let's address Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor is more competent than Eberflus. Zach Taylor is more competent than Matt Nagy. You know what I'm saying? So pump your brakes real quick. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going off of what you said. I ain't say nothing about Zach Taylor. You're the one that said he's not a top five offensive mind. I would disagree because of the results.
You disagree?
I would say he might be offensively. He might be.
Yeah, offensively. I just said offensive. I didn't say head coach. I said offensively.
Yeah.
From how the Joe Burrow offense is the Zach Taylor offense. How do you separate the two?
Yeah, but that's the thing. If Joe Burrow were playing for anyone else, he would still be good. Zach Taylor needs
Joe Burrow.
We've seen it. Like, y'all can't tell me that there are two teams in this league that probably wouldn't take Joe Burrow.
Bro, LSU, do you know the roster that LSU had? They had Justin Jefferson
and
Ja'Marr
Chase. Look at the roster y'all got now.
We don't have Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. As good as T. Higgins is, he's not Justin Jefferson.
You have the NFL version of that, but you have the NFL version of that.
You have two number one receivers. You have a great running back.
Okay, let's stop talking about the offense. What about the defense? You see the LSU defense that they had when Joe Burrow won?
Joe Burrow.
We damn sure know the Bengals don't got that.
But this is
the generational points like offense. Of it,
though.
Yeah. Huh? Defense like, like offense.
Exactly. And we can look at Joe Burrow and see that he's of the same elk as every other good quarterback in the league. We think that about Caleb Williams. We don't know that yet. It looked like it for a year in college. I would say that Joe Burrow is the better talent, even when he was coming out of college. You could compare them.
We're only saying that because of 2020 hindsight. When I'm talking about generational talent, this is not a slight at Joe Burrow. I still think he's a top four QB, no question. But when I'm talking about generational talent, I'm talking about something that comes in once in a lifetime. Joe Burrow, the things that he does is not physical. There are mental aspects. His accuracy and his toughness, his mentality, those are things that you can coach. His overall talent and speed, like Lamar Jackson.
If that was true, Trevor Lawrence would be good.
No. If Lamar
Trevor Lawrence would be good if that were true.
I think Trevor Lawrence mentally isn't Joe Burrow mentally. So that's why I think that's where the deficiency is. That's why he needs to coach up. Same way I think about Caleb Williams. I think mentally he's not Joe Burrow. That's why he needs to be coached up. If they had the same mentality as Joe Burrow did, I think they're top five QBs.
It's not even the mentality.
But that can make you generational talent. Look at Kobe. Look at Jordan. 100%. People always speak to their mentality.
Peyton Manning.
Look at Shaq. People say if Shaq had the right mentality, he would have been even better. So yeah, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Yes, but they already had a dog mentality. The people that you mentioned, I don't think Caleb Williams is a dog. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a dog.
Well, that's fair to say.
You know what I'm saying? I think Joe Burrow is a dog. That's why
all I'm saying is that's a part of the generational talent. That's what makes him. Like, you can't take away the dog part of it. Like,
that's a superpower. Jordan
it's a lot of niggas that could jump like Jordan. It's a lot of niggas that shoot better than him, but they didn't have the mentality. That's what makes him great. And the same thing with Joe Burrow. We can't discount it just because it looks a certain way on the field. It's not as athletic as a Jaden Daniels or something of that nature, but you still have to constitute that mentality that you're speaking of.
I don't think when we're talking about generational talent, bro, I'm talking about the actual physical talent. I'm not talking about mentality.
But you can't separate that. You can't separate that because what makes Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow, and here's the thing, it's a literal definition of why they call him Joe Cool. Under pressure, he doesn't suffer from anxiety. He doesn't suffer from ups and downs. Like his heart rate, and I can't remember where I saw this story, like they measured his heart rate during something and they was like, yo, it's like this dude even human because he doesn't react. And we see that. He doesn't care if he got a 240-pound linebacker barreling down on him and he has to get the ball out of his hands quick. He doesn't care about taking that hit. We've seen him play like that. You know what I'm saying? That is what separates Joe Burrow. Everything else that you named as well. And Joe Burrow has been able to overcome, right? He didn't have Ja'Marr Chase the first year. It was the second year that they drafted Ja'Marr Chase. But he looked like the guy, even with the, arguably the worst offensive line in the league. That's well, how we knew. You know, the biggest thing.
Go ahead, Sheldon.
And no, I was just going to say really quick, the biggest thing for me, though, is it's hard to tell. You know, even we talk about these guys, we don't know what they're going to become. You know, year one is not the end of the road for these guys. Sometimes it takes a little longer. He still could come out and turn some heads in year two, three, four. You know, it takes a little longer for some guys, and he still could be the better player overall than any of these guys we're talking about. So we just got to wait and see and get him a good coach in there.
That sounds like Shelton trying to shoot Bryce Young some bell. But speaking of overcoming odds, the Philadelphia Eagles, after collapsing last year, are heading back to the Super Bowl for their third Super Bowl in 8 years after completely dominating the Washington Commanders 55-23 at home. Are the Eagles the clear favorites to win the Super Bowl, and what can prevent them from winning it all?
Mahomes.
Yeah. The greatest player that we've ever seen in our lives on the other side.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, because look, man, look, the Eagles finally looked as dominant as they should have all year. This is the level of expectation I have. Not saying that they should average 50 points, you know what I'm saying? But they should have had a couple of 50-point, 40-point outbursts in there because their quality of roster is that dominant. You know what I'm saying? So we finally saw it. The only thing that can stop them is literally Mahomes. That's the only thing. Because I think
that ain't the only thing.
It ain't the only thing.
Jalen Hurts is definitely a number. He double.
Yeah, like he stopped them all year, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. He did a pretty good job. Go ahead. He tried.
He really did.
Hey, Sean, he really tried, did. But that roster ain't letting him. He really did. You should have Saquon up there, not Jalen Hurts. We already know who the real MVP of that team is.
That don't matter.
It matters to me.
It don't matter.
Jalen Hurts. Go ahead, Fee. My bad. We cut you off.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Jalen Hurts. Look, Jalen Hurts had a good game. This is the first good game he's had probably since the Super Bowl. Like, he ain't had a game this good since the Super Bowl.
I agree with you, Lou.
So if he can go and do that, is that enough to still beat Patrick Mahomes? I don't know, because you spoke to that roster for 1 through 53. It ain't a team better than this in the league, and it might be by far. Like, so to have, like Ken said, plummeted and fell on their face last year, this being a redemption year, and I can understand Jalen Hurts want to make a better name for himself in the Super Bowl. I get all of that, but I still don't see them beating the best quarterback that we've ever seen in our lives.
Hey, Lou, isn't it beautiful, though, he getting another chance to make a better name for himself in the Super Bowl again?
Beautiful isn't the word that I would use. I would use beautiful.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because going, and I'm glad QK has joined the show. Going into that Super Bowl, the first matchup between Jalen and Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
the same things could be said about what we're about to say now, right? They got the better roster. And that was when Mahomes was throwing to butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers, right?
He still do.
That's the one that Q still talk about as far as how the hell we get a flag on Juju.
He still do.
And that was with a better pass rush, because y'all set the damn near NFL record with, you know, with sacks from just y'all front line.
Right.
So that's why I'm curious to know you and Q's thoughts. I want to give it to y'all. Like, how confident are y'all this go around than last time?
Yeah.
Welcome, Q. You can go first, Q.
How confident am I? I'm not confident. I think we're gonna lose. So that's kind of that's where I'm at. I mean, bro, what do niggas want me to do?
Doing the fan thing.
If I don't glaze Patrick Mahomes, I'm fucking hating. If I say we're gonna win,
it's your team, bro.
I think my team is gonna lose. I don't think we're gonna beat Vegas. It's Vegas. Are we not beating Vegas, bro?
Don't give me that.
Can you set that point aside
and just tell me outside of that, let's just say the game is objective. No rest.
It's objective.
How confident are you going into this game as far as your team, the Philadelphia Eagles? Because you know me, if it's the Bengals, bro, and I'm going against the Chiefs, I'm always going to pick the Bengals. I don't give a fuck if they got fucking Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, whoever you want to put back there. I'm picking the Bengals, so it's my team. So I know you feel the same way, even though you're just saying this. But like y'all faced them before with a better roster, and y'all facing them again with a better roster. Is this different? Does this feel different?
No, it don't feel different to me, bro. I mean, what do y'all want me to say? Like, oh yeah, Eagles are gonna win. I don't believe that shit, bro. I don't believe it.
I'll rip the band-aid off. It's because you know y'all don't have a good quarterback. You don't trust your quarterback to have two back-to-back good games and beat one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I'll put
real quick, so I don't trust Lamar Jackson opening day. I didn't trust Josh Allen to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't like
trust Jalen Hurts to do it?
I don't. It's their time.
Gotcha.
Because he beat everybody he just named, Lou. That's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Jalen Hurts beat the names you just named. Now, how about that? Yes, he did. Did you forget? Did you forget?
I did.
Did you not watch the game?
It was a forgettable performance.
He beat Joe Burrow. You watched that game? Did you watch last year when he beat Josh Allen? Oh, okay.
His highest passing game was 155 yards.
Hold on, I just want Shelton to answer the question. Like, what's
standing 10 toes down since this season started, even in week 4 when everybody was saying they were done.
I ain't changing nothing.
You were the same way in the Super Bowl.
Shelton, you felt the same way a couple years ago. Is there a difference in the feeling this year?
There's a couple differences for me, Nick. One, there's no Bradberry. We got Quinyon Mitchell. That's a big difference for me. That secondary is a lot different. Vic Fangio is there. He's focused. He's locked in. These guys are playing together as a team even more so than they were even then in 22. Yeah, they got a lot more sacks back then because they put a lot of pressure on the ball. But this team plays team defense. They tackle as a team. They run as a team. This team does everything. Offense supports defense. Defense supports offense. These dudes play as hard as they can. Now, they will have to play damn near perfect because we already know what time it is. And like you say, we know what Vegas always say. But the biggest difference on the field, you said it yourself. You all know what the biggest difference is. Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Saquon, there you go. I mean,
so can I ask you? I'm gonna ask you three more questions. I'm gonna pass it to someone else.
Miles Sanders, Saquon Barkley.
Let me ask you, you have Miles Sanders as a top 10.
I did. So, y'all call me crazy, right?
But go ahead. You still look great. Three questions for you, Shelton. Who has the better defensive coordinator between the Chiefs and the Eagles?
Right now, we can argue Fangio with the Eagles because look at the numbers.
I just want a name.
Look at the numbers on defense. Which defense is ranked higher?
Fangio for me. Who has the better head coach?
Definitely the Chiefs.
Who has the better quarterback?
Definitely the Chiefs.
100%. Okay. So I know you were lying about the defensive coordinator.
This season alone, it is kind of a wash.
It ain't even a wash. It's definitely Fangio.
Yeah, this defense is ranked higher.
They're on the same level. I'll give you they on the same level.
I don't give them the same level because the quarterbacks they faced was Jaden Daniels, Matt Stafford, and Jaden Daniels, Matt Stafford.
So now he's not top five.
No. I'm saying the quarterbacks that
he's not better than Steve Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo faced with Josh Allen and Fangio
be the top five QB now. That don't mean nothing.
No, I'm saying like the quarterbacks that Spagnuolo faced was Josh Allen and CJ Stroud. Both of those quarterbacks, you would say
you have CJ Stroud is better than Daniels.
What?
Because last week you said Daniels was better than CJ Stroud. Yeah. So I was
gonna say that.
And Josh Stafford Allen, was supposed Josh, to be that guy too. All I'm saying is
to be fair, because I'm the objective fan. Like I fuck with Shelton and I'm riding with him spiritually, but I just can't do it. But
I'm saying Josh Allen is better than Daniels, and it's a wash right now between Matt Stafford and CJ Stroud. So I'm just saying, like, if we're going, sounds like
equal to me. Then sounds like
no. The Josh Allen is better than Jaden Daniels. I'm just saying, like. The QBs that Spagnuolo has to face and coach against is way harder than what Fangio has to deal with in the playoffs. I don't think it's close.
I don't think that's necessarily true at all. Actually, I think that sounds like a narrative to me.
Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the league.
I understand that, but that's one guy. Y'all talking about one person. I'm talking about the and honestly, some people will say second or third. That's fine. I don't want to argue semantics. But y'all sat on this podcast last week and said Jaden Daniels is top five. And when, like I said last week, when he gets spanked, Don't do this shit where now he's no longer top five and Matt Stafford is no longer. To do now. And now Matt Stafford is not arguably top 10.
He is arguably top 10. Matt Stafford school wouldn't like.
Okay.
Most people, including the people on this panel, pick the Rams to beat the Eagles. They also pick Washington to beat the Eagles. Right. So how now do these teams not matter when he punched them in the mouth like he did? The Eagles have created 10 turnovers this offseason. What other team has done that? Come on now.
We faced three top 10 QBs, and I think that we held Jordan Love to less than what he wanted to do. We held Stafford less than what he wanted to do, and we demolished the Commanders. So I'm not saying that Vic Fangio overall resume is better.
No, not the resume.
You know what I'm saying? Spagnuolo's going to the Hall of Fame. His scheme is amazing. But I'm just talking this year.
They held Stafford below his standards, but that was a snow game. And he almost won it. But that was a snow game, and I think Stafford's performance was impacted by the conditions.
Agreed. People going to say that's an excuse, Ken, but I would agree with that. But I'm not going to use that point. My main thing is just more of like, if we're talking about Steve Spagnuolo and Vic Fangio, it's night and day to me. Maybe this year is the best argument for what y'all saying, and I could be wrong, easily wrong.
Just this year, Nick. That's all I'm talking about.
But overall, I'm saying, like, when we talk about the three questions that I asked as far as who's a better defensive coordinator, who's a better head coach, and who's a better quarterback, we're all saying Chiefs. And y'all know how I feel when we talk about those questions. It's like, well, then I got to go with that team. Because I've seen last year, you did the same thing
with the Rams game. You said the same thing in the Rams game.
No. I said the head coach and the quarterback.
Yeah, and you said
y'all
you
had them and y'all, but
and lost.
And they barely lost, but they lost.
You said the same thing in Washington.
No. I said I trust the quarterback.
We can't do barely lost because then I can say barely won. And when y'all
no, don't I just say
quarterback. I don't accept
barely won all year.
You know what I'm saying? The Chiefs be barely winning because of some bullshit. Now that don't matter. But because
the Chiefs got rings. But
can we just be objective, we can be objective that Vic Fangio and Spagnuolo are having two fantastic years. He might get assistant coach of the year with Vic Fangio. Spagnuolo's going to the Hall of Fame, so that's not we're really doing.
You're not even being objective because you're saying the Chiefs are going to win because of Vegas. How is that objective?
I mean, that's pretty objective, nigga. You seen the fucking calls?
Okay. Here we go.
Let's
now that don't matter. I hate how y'all be doing that shit. No, bro. Y'all be Uchi Wally.
Well, really quick, talk about the actual game. Because I don't know what y'all talking about. What about the actual game we just
watched? Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying the actual game, what should be said about the QBs this year? I told y'all stop hyping Jaden Daniels. Let him do this one more year. He looked like a rookie. It wasn't necessarily his fault that they lost that game. Because there was four turnovers, Eckler and three other people who just kept putting the ball on the ground. You can't win like that. But Jaden Daniels looked a little bit rattled. He saw some looks on defense from Fangio he didn't see all year. And I think the Eagles just took advantage, and we ran the score up. The offensive line was pushing them out the way, and they had to go get Daniels a number two or number one. I would love to see them be in the market for like a Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, if possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even somebody, a veteran like Davante Adams or somebody like that, bring them to Washington. And you got to beat that defense up, bro. I think they have enough on offense to be really good, but they got to beat the defense up. They got to get heavier in the front seven, and they got to solidify their safeties because their safeties were getting cooked all year, honestly, but especially against Saquon on that first run. I knew it was game over once that happened. I'm like, okay, if we get that type of push up front, they really can't do much else because then Jalen's going to start getting the one-on-ones, even if you stack in the box. And that's what, if you're an Eagles fan, you're hoping is going to be the outcome. They stack the box, and we can get our one-on-ones against McDuffie and the other corner on the other side, and you're just hoping that Devontae and AJ win out in the Super Bowl.
I'll say this real quick. I think that the Commanders let Jaden Daniels down because he was balling. If you watch the games, this remind me a little bit of very poor man's version of when Patty was in that Super Bowl against the Bucks. He tried everything he could, and it was not going. But he looked great in that loss. I think the three turnovers, bro, it's just egregious. It's just fucking egregious.
Four.
And it was four in total?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about, was it three? It was three on offense, or at least the special teams, and then the two fumbles.
Yeah, special teams got one.
And the two fumbles. That's the one I'm talking about. Like, just when I started talking.
Pick two, Nick. Don't discount that.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Four turnovers, but that wasn't what hurt the game. That was at the last minute when he was just trying to do something. But last week I think I cursed him because I said the name Dwame Brown, whatever the fuck that nigga name is, and he let us down early. It was 10-7, and he was 10-7, mm-hmm. and he fumbled, and it was a wrap. So I think Jay Daniels was going to play a great game, but his team let him down. But the Eagles got the win. They got the dub. Once I seen that first run by Saquon, I was like, y'all know I'm a Saquon fan, so I can't hate on him. He's the greatest.
And you know the go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if I'm a Washington fan, I feel good about this. Jaden Daniels didn't look bad. We know we got to tighten some stuff up as far as getting a better roster, as Q mentioned, and we're playing against Saquon Barkley. As far as our defense can't handle that, they don't have the defense set up to stop that yet. We seen it on the first play. I heard one of the commentators say they were doing a production meeting. They were saying, out of all 22 each sides, there's only three players on the Redskins starting 22 that could
Commanders,
start.
Boy, hey, right wing loop, bro.
Demonetized.
There's only three players on the Commanders' whole starting 22 that could even start for the Eagles. So they already at a disadvantage there. And we talked about the roster. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at this if I was a Commanders fan. Like, I know Jaden Daniels can go out there and do it. I would hope, especially after this first year, that Dan Quinn could put together some type of team and we get good in the draft. But I'm good with this if I'm the Commanders.
So if everybody knew this, why everybody picked the Commanders to win?
Everybody hates the Eagles, nigga. That's why. No one likes the Eagles.
I picked them. I said I'm a degenerate gambler.
Bro, that's what it is.
I'm chilling with the high end.
Nick, I get that. You picked the Eagles anyway.
Who did?
Spike
is objective. Spike is like the third most objective person on the panel.
My bad, Lou. I forgot you on Spike the right side. Hey, the best thing for the Commanders going into next year, they play Dallas twice and they play
getting Brian Schottenheimer. Spike, so, let's go. Let's go. Hey,
you can't get no more better. That's four easy wins right there.
Hold on, Sheldon. Because if the Giants get Cam Ward or Shador,
don't start that campaign already, Dick. Don't curse the franchise. Don't do that.
Y'all signing
Sam Darnold. Enjoy that.
Enjoy Sam Darnold
for 4 years.
Chill out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because I promise you, if the Giants don't draft either Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, Lou, I'm going to be 100%. I'm going to give up on the side chick team. And I'll be back.
And the Giants have traded back. You know what I'm saying?
Because
like,
I'm hearing the pass rusher from Penn State may be the number one overall pick.
Possibly. And he want to run slow in the 40 so he can get picked by the Eagles. He want to be an Eagle so bad. That's crazy. But check this out. My biggest point is he didn't go to UGA.
They're not going to draft him. He ain't going to UGA.
Right, right. Hey, they got a bunch of Bama boys over there too. Hey, the craziest thing about this game and the most impressive thing to me was the grit that was showed by the offensive line. You had
I'm laughing at Lou. Go ahead and finish your point.
Lou's so mad right now, but you had Cam Jurgens at the last minute, which was crazy to me. Had a serious back injury. So Cam Jurgens was ruled out last minute, but he did dress. So Landon Dickerson, who plays guard, had to slide into the center spot. Now, he ain't played center but a couple times, you know, in his career. He played it in college, but not in the pros. So for him to slide over and you slide in Tyler Steen, who's actually a right guard to the left side, and you saw him effective on that one run to start the game, you know, that was impressive. And then Landon Dickerson got hurt, which meant Cam Jurgens had to come in with his injured back and play the whole second half.
Are you talking about stuff that offensive linemen do all the time?
No, not that.
You're referencing
not in run
this
for seven.
This is what happens on the offensive line at this time of year. Like,
Hey, Lou, not in run for seven touchdowns and break records in the league like that. So that's why it's worth mentioning. It would be one thing if they didn't break records with
three
the backup.
Three of them were from a spam. Three of them were from a spam play.
I think the thing is what Jalen Hurts was able to do. And it was one of the things that I was – you know, trying to caution against is when you sell out to stop Saquon, he's still got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. it's not that fucking hard to throw it to him. You know, I mean, you throw a streak route on that fourth and five or whatever it was. Beautiful. I mean, you just give your guys a chance to get open, you know, to win that ball, to win the football. So I think that, and I know we'll preview the game, but that's something that Spaz is going to have to figure out. Now, I know they got better corners and safeties, I think, than Washington, but yeah, I think this just them coming up to play Saquon just really opened them up to the passing game. And even Jalen said it after the game. He was like, they let me out the straitjacket. You know, and that was a conversation we were having in the chat, Spike, about Shelton, about, you know, what is his role on the team? And we know that his role is definitely to not turn it over. But it's not like he can't throw it, especially with those weapons. So
all I know is, and again, we're going to do it next week for the picking the games, but I'll say this. It's night and day playing the Washington defense and the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And Sheldon, you can agree with that. It's night and day.
Absolutely. But all
I will say is this. If I know Spags, and we're going to talk more about Spags later on this program, he going to make sure that Jalen Hurts is going to prove that he a top 10 QB. Because I think he's going to stack the box and force and do hella blitzes and be like, nigga, you're going to have to make a fucking play.
And you're right, and that's gonna be fun to watch, Nick. If nothing else, I'm enjoy watching this game for those reasons. Ken lost his voice, by the way, cheering for the Eagles. this is really gonna be a chess match, just like, you know, any time you get big name program playing football, it should be a chess match, and both teams need to be prepared. And that's what I'm interested to see how ready these teams can be. How physically they are ready to perform. Brandon Graham is talking about coming back for this game. He tore his pec in that first time we beat the Rams without snow, by the way. So he's going to be back in this game. So you're going to get to see the full complement of players as long as nobody get hurt from now on. So it's going to be a good game. I can't wait to see it.
It'd be huge if BG gets back.
Yeah.
I think the only concern that I would have for the defense, and it is such a weird concern to have, admittedly, is that when we're so advantageous with the turnovers, there's a difference between, I think we can understand, there's a difference between defenses that clamp and take away space on the field, that like deflect, you know, the football and, you know, break up passes, get their hands up at the line, and then defenses that kind of get not picked apart, but you can throw on them a little bit and they get a huge stop or a huge turnover. And I think that the Eagles is less of a taking space away. Besides Quinyon, he's the only one who takes away space. Right. Everyone else is just flocking to the ball immediately.
Yes.
We're getting worse. We're punching the football out. But Jaden Daniels, it was 23-34. And they were driving.
Yes.
And I think that's the only concern that you have, only if you're the Eagles defense, is Patrick Mahomes is going to find the soft part of the defense every time. And are they going to hold on to the football? And can a defense like the Eagles win when our turnover ratio is so advantageous for us? It's going to be a battle of discipline and battle of scheme here.
And that's the one last thing on that point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Q, because I was thinking the same thing. The biggest advantage that the Chiefs have is that Patrick Mahomes gets the ball out quick. It's not a lot of time to think, and that's the dink and dunk is the way to move the ball on the Eagles. If you watch the Tampa Bay game, losing that game early, what they did was very effective. That's what they need to go back and watch, because Baker Mayfield was that first drive. He was hitting his receivers quick. He was getting the ball out of his hands. You didn't get pressure from the front four like they've been able to put on other teams. They had to react. And it's kind of like they have a bend but don't break mentality. But you can't really have that with Patrick Mahomes, because he'll sit there and make you bend all day. He doesn't take the chances that the other quarterbacks take.
My God.
Yeah. Oh, for real. My bad, John. My bad. But that's what you have to do. You got to figure out how to make him, you know, take away some of that short stuff.
My thing with the Eagles is this: can they outpace the Chiefs when it comes to scoring. Yep. Because I agree with Nick. Spagnuolo is definitely going to make you want to audible out of some of these runs because the box is definitely going to be stacked. You know what I'm saying? And is Jalen going to be able to make the reads relatively quickly? Or let's say if you do call out of your run play because the box is stacked and then all of a sudden they drop back into a zone, you know, and you thought it was going to be a quick read. I think that is going to be the chess match. I'm not worried about the Kansas City offense at all. Like, they're going to put up and last week was the first time they put up 30 plus points all year. And I think that the Chiefs just rise to the occasion. Do we got to score 40? I bet we'll score 40. We got to score 27 to win. They're going to score 27 to win. I'm not worried about the offense. To me, this is all about what the Eagles want to do, because the best version of the Eagles is Saquon running for damn near 200. Jalen Hurts throwing for about $150 to $175, no turnovers, a passing touchdown, and a couple of rushing touchdowns. That is the best version of the Eagles. Can Spags get them out of doing what they want to do? And if they do, it's a wrap for them.
That's a good point, FIFA. Well, I think it was pointed out several times, just real quick here. It was pointed out several times in the game.
Over again next week.
It was pointed out several times in the game at how long Jalen Hurts hold on to the ball. Spags can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. How long did
Cowboys Jaden hold on to it? Daniels So just to wrap up this last game, are you guys looking at Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury as the reason why they lost, or was it just the fact that they were just outmatched?
It just wasn't their time.
They
weren't supposed to be here. It's just like, and not in the way that they didn't deserve to be here, but they weren't supposed to be here. Right. They took advantage of, you know, Tampa Bay. They took advantage of Detroit, and they beat those teams. Like, you got to shake their hand for that. But at the end of the day, they're ahead of schedule, and they're just going to have to make a couple tweaks in the drafts, get a free agent wide receiver to come in, and some defensive guys. And I think they'll be. I think this is going to be the NFC East Invitational for the next 2-3 years NFC Championship game.
They got $100 million in cap space, which is really, really good. My only fear for them, and it's just being honest, it's tough to come back and do that. You won't surprise anybody anymore. And we saw what happened with, even though, you know, we did see Houston make it back, it all eyes were on them at that point. You're not sneaking up on nobody. Washington ain't going to sneak up on nobody next year. Definitely and not. You best believe
but I agree. That, I agree, but I think Jaden Daniels is that good.
But you gotta,
they're gonna try to make the adjustments for him,
and that's why you also got to update the roster. And from a Cliff Kingsbury perspective, you can't come out there calling the same plays, because like everybody says on this telecast, you have film now, so you got to expand the playbook. You have to throw even more wrinkles in there,
and they got to figure it out, because Austin Ekeler is a year older.
He's done there.
Running back. They're gonna
draft running back. What's he fumbled? Dwani, whoever the fuck that nigga name is, they
don't
out
do that, Nick, man.
I'll answer the question like a real nigga. They got outmatched. The Eagle, if you take Saquon off this roster, I'm thinking, bro,
if you take Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs, nigga, shut up.
Saquon
wasn't there 2 years ago.
Saquon was the difference maker. You take him out this game, bro. The game is closer, if not the win.
Hey, let me, Ken. We about to ask go right now. One quick stat, Ken, before you go. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Tua, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, and Baker Mayfield combined have not been to as many Super Bowls as Jalen Hurts already. Okay, and he's 26 years old.
That's great. You would take half those QBs over Jalen Hurts.
No.
Yes, you would.
Half them would take his career.
Y'all would have actually won a Super Bowl if y'all had one.
How many rings combined do they all have together? We'll never know. Most of this list ain't never gonna.
Once again, bro. If these niggas don't win the Super Bowl, hey, I'm running all the game film back.
We'll talk about that later. But 10 times down,
man. Like Philadelphia fans, I don't know how all of us feel. I know how some of us feel. We never thought we'd win a Super Bowl, dude. we never thought we would go to Super Bowls at a certain point. I mean, that's fine because at the end of the day, I'm just enjoying it, bro. Like, we won the one in 2018. I've just been on cloud nine since then. Anything else is just house money for me at this point. It's just a blessing to just see your team get to multiple championship games and do this. And, you know, regardless of how this game turns out, it's just a hell of a ride, bro. Like, Saquon Barkley coming into the team and having a historic year. It's just shit you can't take for granted. Like, and that's where I think people like Giannis were kind of correct in saying that, like, yo, years are not failures just because you don't get to the ultimate goal. But as a fan, of course, you want to see you win the ultimate goal. As a player, you want to win the ultimate shit. But, dude, you just got to take a step back sometimes and be like, man, this is such a beautiful thing to see. Like a season like this happen, you know what I'm saying? Especially for the Chiefs and the three-peat on like the line. See, that's a Cincinnati like vibe. That's why it's not making no noise because it's a Cincinnati violin. He never seen this many Super Bowls happen in like a decade in his life. So Spike over there holding on to the Clinton administration and Tupac
I'm old enough to remember. I still remember them days.
Hey, fun fact,
give it a couple more years, Spike. You ain't gonna remember them shit too long, but it's like, he was like, man, we had what's his name at QB? Troy,
Fun fact though, like I said, Luke, Jeremiah Trotter's daddy went
more of your fun facts.
He was born,
we ran this shit daddy. In Texas, man. Come here, let's go. Let's get out of here, man.
The Chiefs, let's talk about the Chiefs game. The Kansas City Chiefs advanced to their third straight Super Bowl after winning a close and controversial game at home against the Buffalo Bills, 32-29. Were the Bills robbed? And do we need to have a conversation about Josh Allen and or Sean McDermott?
We don't. So, all right, let me tackle this first because then I know everybody's going to jump in. Look, Josh Allen has proven time and time again that he steps up in the moment and he duels Patrick Mahomes unlike anybody else outside of Joe Burrow. Like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, I'm not worried about those two guys going up to Arrowhead and playing their best game. I saw this stat where, you know, teams that score four touchdowns without zero turnovers in the playoffs are like 56-6. And three of those losses go to the Bills. You know what I'm saying? In these last four attempts, it's one of these things where we are literally witnessing Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan ensured that a whole bunch of superstar franchise guys did not win a championship, Hall of Famers, right? And that's what we're witnessing with Pat Mahomes. And here's the thing: last week, one of y'all had said that Pat Mahomes, if he wins this three-peat, is better than Tom Brady. And I wasn't necessarily on board with that. It was you, Spike. But as I thought about it throughout the week, I may have to agree because of who he is suppressing from winning. Joe Burrow is an MVP candidate, right? Damn near every year he plays.
Generational talent.
If he would have made the playoffs this year, right? Like he had an argument for MVP. We know Lamar Jackson is a multiple-time MVP. Josh Allen had an MVP-type season. And we know for a fact that the AFC has the harder or the better quarterbacks than the NFC. We know that for a fact. We talked about that for the last 3-5 years. So if Mahomes continues to dominate the other literally great quarterbacks in the league on his way to championships, it is better than Tom Brady because Tom Brady didn't have that level of competition to get to the Super Bowl, right? Like Peyton Manning, but we know what Peyton Manning was before he went to Denver. We know that he crumbled in those moments. We aching him to Lamar Jackson. Like you don't play your best in the highest pressure situations, but we've seen Josh Allen and Joe Burrow do that, and he has suppressed those two guys. All that being said, I don't blame Josh Allen. If they wanted to move on from McDermott, I wouldn't be mad. It just, who do you replace? Like, are you going to get a better coach? In that scenario, are you going to get a better coach than what Sean McDermott is? The defense, I feel, is what needs to upgrade. Because it's not even about offensive weapons and this, that, and the third for the Bills. The Bills have proven that they can go out there and score points. And what I'm asking in terms of the defense is damn near impossible because nobody can do it. So it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't matter who you go out there and get. Mahomes is still going to be Mahomian, and he is going to, if he gets the ball, he's going to win the game. But if you're asking me what do the Bills need, is a better defense. Look, the Chiefs have not scored 30 points all year, and they gave up 30 points. Again, I'm not blaming that 100% on the Bills and Josh Allen and McDermott and all of this type of stuff. What I'm saying is that is the area of improvement. But I can't blame Josh on this one. Zero turnovers?
Can I respond? Because it's egregious what FIFO is trying to do, Ken. Because I swear, Lou, you must have him as employee of the month of the law offices of Mike and Lou Bail Bondsman. Because to tell me that Josh Allen did, bruh, he is 0-4 on the road. And one of them losses is to who? God. The Houston Texans. Oh. Like, he has not won on the road. Mm-hmm. He is, if anything,
he hasn't won at home either.
Josh,
he hasn't won against Mahomes at home either.
Not against Mahomes, but he's won home games. My thing is that Josh Allen has proven the Joe Burrow lore is bigger than ever now. Because now it's like,
you don't bring in Joe Burrow until they make the playoffs.
Can I finish?
No, no. You can't talk about Joe Burrow.
That's so crazy.
Can I finish my point? Can I finish?
Go ahead.
All I'm saying is this. Josh Allen fucked up.
Oh, God.
Josh Allen fucked up. Let me ask you this, Lou. Because I ain't going to talk to Q because I already been talking to him in the chat. Let me ask you this, Lou. If I was to tell you the way this Bills and Chiefs game, before the game even started, the way the Bills Chiefs game is going to go, Josh Allen's going to have the ball with 2 minutes left and three timeouts with a chance to either tie or win the game against Patrick Mahomes. And I asked you, do you think the Bills are going to win that game? Or, like, would that be the best case scenario for the Bills to win that game? What would you say?
It would be. It would be the best case scenario.
Did that happen on Sunday?
It did not.
I'm saying, did that happen as far as the scenario happened on Sunday?
The scenario did happen. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It happened on Sunday.
The scenario did happen.
And then what happened?
Lackluster results.
That's all I got. Please continue.
Okay. If I was the judge here in that case, I'm throwing you out of the courtroom. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? It's just like that doesn't mean anything. Like, Josh Allen did everything he needed to do to win the game. Like, he's Patrick Ewing, bro. It's fine. Like, we can't say Patrick Ewing is not an amazing player just because he faced a godlike player. Like, that's fine, bro. He's Gary Payton. He's Sean Kemp. Like, that doesn't mean that Jordan is still not Jordan. There's just levels to this shit, bro. I don't think, like, the Josh Allen hate, trust me, I was one of the people who were just last year, I don't really see it, man. I think that it's not really what people are saying it is. This season cemented that it is what it is with him. He is an amazing player. He just ran into a better player. And that just shows you how good Mahomes is. He's perfect in clutch scenarios. Mahomes, by the numbers, he is, I think he's 6-for-6. When you have to go get 3 points or a touchdown with, I think, 2 minutes left, he's perfect. Drew Brees is 3-for-6, I think 3-for-6, and I think that Tom Brady is like 4-for-6 or something in those scenarios. Please check me on that.
Q, let me add something real quick. I agree with Shannon Sharp when he says that Mahomes, all he knows is AFC Championship or Super Bowl. He's desensitized to the big moment. It don't matter.
I don't lose before this. Yeah, I don't lose before this, bro.
And
that can't be on Josh Allen. Like, why is that on Josh Allen?
Ken, let me ask you this question, bro. Does Josh Allen work for free?
Yeah.
Does he not get paid to win games?
I get what y'all saying, and I'm with y'all. The only reason that, Nick, I agree with you is because, you know, what is it, 4 times in a row at this point? At some point, for him to be what we're saying he is, he has to climb that mountain. This was the perfect opportunity
But that's the thing I think you and Nick are dismissing. There is no mountain to climb. Y'all talking about, like, we ain't even talking about generational talent no more. You talking about a nigga like Jordan. Like, it's just unfortunate for you that you were born in this era. That's it.
Like can I say this?
There will never be a situation like it would be luck what Josh Allen is going
to. Go ahead and say it, and then I'll respond to because I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what you sound like? I'm surprised you're saying real quick, Nick. I'm old enough to remember when we seen Patrick Ewing and the Knicks go play in Chicago all the time. It wasn't ever that we thought Patrick Ewing wasn't a great player because he would go out there and he would be great, just like Josh Allen was. But when it came down to it, dude, you playing Jordan. You go.
Bro, I don't want to talk about
that. Listen. First of all, Patrick Ewing was never considered a top two player at his position, if not overall.
Yeah, he was. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was. Crazy.
He was in the top.
He's showing your age. He's showing his age.
I said top two. I fuck with Patrick. I said top two.
And the reason and that second, I said that because second, the Knicks played him frequently in the
EA. The reason why you say that because I'm shocked you saying this because you sound like a weak minded nigga, bro. I'm gonna keep it a bean because if we're talking about competition, let's not act like Patrick Mahomes is undefeated in the playoffs. Period. We've seen niggas take him. We've seen him beat him.
Three losses, maybe.
We've seen him be beatable, and I want y'all to act like and we gonna put pressure on Lamar and all these other quarterbacks. We gotta do the same for Josh Allen. He didn't play a flawless game. He didn't play a good game for real. If we want to keep it a bean, the stats
look
good. How many
turnovers he had? How many turnovers did he put into play?
Who are the QBs that has beaten Patrick Mahomes?
Tom Brady, Joe Burrow,
and then you keep bringing up this fucking year that Joe Burrow had the most amazing year ever. All right, cool. So you have to have one of the greatest years in quarterback history, and you got to be the GOAT in many people's eyes. So that's what you're saying. And that's what I don't like about this Mahomes shit is that y'all don't like to just be objective and let the man be great and then crucify other people for the fact that he's great.
First of all, I'm saying two things can be true. I've already said Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
What do you want Josh Allen to do? Do you want Josh Allen to
win the game?
Let me finish.
No. Can we keep that right there? Y'all want him to win the fucking game. When he clearly passes on fourth and one, y'all say he didn't get the ball past fourth and one. He can't
can we talk about that series in general? Because you want to, everybody want to keep on going to that fourth and five and all that shit.
What are we talking about, bro?
Let's talk about that drive. That first play, when it was first and 10, he didn't get the pass off. Did he, FIFO? The second play, second and 10, he didn't get the pass off. The third play, they ran the ball, got four or five yards. And then that fourth down, he didn't get the pass. Like, he had a chance.
He could have checked out.
Listen. Hold on. Y'all been yapping. Patrick Mahomes only put a field goal on the board. Nick, you just cited it. No, that should not have been all he needed to. Because Patrick Mahomes got the ball back after Josh Allen failed to drive down the field to get a field goal. Or win the game or a touchdown. He had been slicing and dicing these dudes up for three quarters, and he fell apart in the fourth quarter. He had the ball in his hands with a shot to take him down, and all he had to do was drive down the field and execute. That's all he needed.
So you're not going to give no credit to Spags and the defense and the play call, the timely play calling that happened. Let's be honest, the Kansas City Chiefs defense is better player for player than that offense minus Josh Allen.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because he still had the ball.
We're talking about the MVP.
FIFA, we talking about the AFC Championship game. If they was good enough to get you there, you can't say they bad enough to not let you get the game.
Also, the number of 2-point conversions he didn't get, the number of QB sneaks he didn't get. He was like 3 of 8, in that game.
Why is it not acceptable in sports that sometimes you just lose to Hall of Fame talent that's better than you? Why is that not acceptable that someone can be great and still lose to someone greater? Why can't that
only
ever
because
just
be? Only because he could have won that game.
But bro, there's multiple points. That's your opinion in that he could have won the game. But then when people bring up subjective calls that could have swung the game's momentum. Y'all dismissed that. See, y'all, so you will fall back and like, oh my God, what does it have to do with anything? But then turn around and say that he could have won the fucking game. If he gets the ball on fourth and one, that's clearly across the fucking line. The Xavier Worthy pass, I don't really have an opinion about it, but people are talking about it on both sides. So you're saying all these moments that could have went Josh Allen's way, but then dismiss the moments where people interfere and say, no, your effort was not good enough, or no, that was by the rule book a catch. And I just don't understand how y'all can say that Mahomes' greatness and greatness, greatness, and then dismiss when people say, if you're right, so fucking great, why do you need these calls to go your way? That's no, all I'm one, saying.
He doesn't. They just win his way. Two, so, that, so was, a bad, just, that Ken, was a bad call win, by the coach.
But Ken, if they just win, why is that not good enough then? Cool.
In spite of all of that, you just said, he went down and tied the game. After Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs scored,
he tied it. Yeah,
he went down and tied the game. So he overcame that, and then he had a chance to go do the same thing, and he did not.
Okay, counterpoint, and I hear your point, and I respect that point. The counterpoint is you have a third and five where you can get the Chiefs off the field. Josh Allen's not playing defense. So is that on Josh Allen? That see, how can y'all say that doesn't matter? But then, like, football is a team sport, dog. It's not quarterback versus quarterback.
So what I will say to that, and I got to give the Bills defense credit. They held him to a field goal.
I need one stop. It's a 35. We get the ball back. No. They didn't get the ball back. P. Ryan got it third.
You're talking about
Q. Yeah, but Q, the only thing you can do is you can flip that and say you needed one score. You needed one score. Like, and the ball was in his hands, though. That's the only thing. That's the only reason I can't give him a pass, because like they said, he had an opportunity to make a play. He had an opportunity to make something happen.
But the opportunity was Josh throwing the ball. Josh doesn't catch the ball. Josh threw the ball, and Kincaid could have caught
it. And Kincaid has the ball in his hands. Okay, so there. So I don't understand the argument.
Why y'all doing it? People, tell me the truth.
Like why?
He could have caught that ball, bro.
So y'all just want Josh Allen to have, like, the most perfect game. The refs don't interfere at all. You guys, what y'all asking?
Can I respond with no interruptions?
Y'all are saying, we don't want Michael Jordan to get any favorable calls. We want Patrick Ewing to put up 50, and we want him to have no turnovers. Y'all asking for, like, the most
I'm not saying
Charles Smith got to get 30 and 20, and Starks got to go
Can I say something real quick? My thing is this. Again, no one is taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes clearly did his job. I'm not saying nothing about
that. And the defense did their job.
And all I'm saying is about Josh Allen. Again, we keep focusing on the fourth and five. FIFO, did that not mean he had three other downs before that to get a first down? And he is supposed to be.
Let me ask you.
Hold on. I said no interruption. I just asked for no interruption, please.
You're right.
Shelton said the one thing that I'm glad he brought up that we haven't talked about. He was legitimately considered, if not going to win the MVP this season. We still don't know that. We all thinking Lamar may not go his way. Either way, Josh Allen has proven to be a great quarterback for multiple seasons, especially this season. He already beaten Patty Mahomes in the regular season when no one else did. When no one else did. We don't count that Denver game because all I'm saying is we look at Josh Allen, like you said, FIFO, when it comes to – there's two quarterbacks. You mentioned Josh Allen as one of them, that you don't mind going to Arrowhead or wherever they at, and you saying that QB is going to light it up. He going to do his thing. Yet, once again – after the third time in a row, we are having a discussion where Josh Allen had an opportunity to win the game and he didn't. If now more than ever, because this if at this point we got to ask the question: if you ain't gonna beat him now, when you gonna beat him?
This is the question I want to ask you. What part of the team on the Bills is better than any part of the Chiefs?
Like,
because for your Joe
running
Burrow,
back running back,
well, hold on, because for your Joe Burrow, he's always had a better wide receiving core every single time. Outside of Tyreek Hill, he's never had a better wide receiver than Jamar Chase.
Okay,
and Jamar Chase is arguably
outside of wide receivers, so, who would you rather take on the Chiefs or the Bengals?
With the Bills. Running back. Okay, I'll give you running back. But every other aspect, special teams, play calling, play design, defense, coaching, defensive
coordinator, every other aspect of the organization is better for Kansas City. Josh Allen had to overcome. The reason why Josh Allen got so much praise this year was because we were like, well, shit. Remember, Amari Cooper didn't come there until midway through the season. They drafted Keon Coleman. They could have drafted Xavier Worthy. I don't know what the hell.
That's my point, is that we have people like Nick who picked the fucking Jets to win the division over the Bills in the beginning of this shit. And now you want to act like you pop and fly now. No, you can't pop fly now and be like, whoa, Josh Allen got to do it. No, bro, keep the whole season in context. And this is why I don't like talking just about the playoffs and what's going on in one moment. Because you don't lose a game based on one drive, and you don't win a game based on one drive. Everything in the game leads up to the outcome, bro. Everything goes into it. So if you're telling me that Josh Allen is supposed to have this Superman performance when his best weapons are Mac Hollins, who the Eagles just gave away, you have Shakir, who a rookie, right? And Keon Coleman, a rookie, right? So I'm saying you have these weapons that are not at all comparable to what a talent like Josh Allen should be having. The coaching is not comparable, and that's what the Chiefs have to make up for, the fact that they don't have these superstar weapons. Yeah. But you still got Hall of Famers in Kelce, and you still got a great defense, and you have a great Hall of Fame defensive coordinator in Spags, who called a timely blitz that was disguised on that fourth down. And then even with that, you have Kincaid with the ball right in front of him, and you have to make a fucking play. So how is that on Josh Allen? You want him to catch the ball too?
Hold on. They never won quick with you. All I'm saying is because you came at me personally, so I got to talk about it.
So the Jets.
The Jets pick was a wrong pick. It was a bad pick. And I always say this, Ken, with new information, I make a new answer.
You said Aaron Rodgers was better than him, bro.
I said
Aaron Rodgers was better than Josh Allen.
If anybody know what I said, it's me. I said the New York Jets.
I don't know. After you've been drinking, sometimes you be forgetting a little bit, bro. You said Aaron Rodgers was better than him, bro.
No, I said with, because FIFA, I was talking to FIFA about this. I said the roster of the Jets is better than the roster of the Bills. And I said, with that being said, I believe in Aaron Rodgers, with even at his ability where he was at in his career at that point, more than Josh Allen, as far as with a better roster, I'm picking Aaron Rodgers over a shittier roster and picking Josh Allen. I was clearly wrong with that. And like you said, Q, that comes with context, because over the season, we got to see that Aaron Rodgers was falling off a cliff and Josh Allen was going upwards. Yeah. So my thing is with this is, like, I get what you're saying. This is just 1 year. If it's just 1 year, I'm not really having this conversation as passionately and as boisterous as I am about what I'm saying. This is the third year in a row, bro. This is not even Josh Allen's best game in the playoffs against Patrick Mahomes, because FIFA, we remember that they changed the rules because of that. And he still lost. So that's why I'm saying, like, we talk about Lamar, we talk about Burrow, we talk about a bunch of other, we even talk about Jalen. And I'm saying, bro, why are we talking about Josh Allen as far as, bro, if you're not getting the job done, you're not getting the job done. Shelton, what's one of your favorite things about Jalen Hurts? What does he do, bro? What is the thing with
Jalen? Are we debating the game or are we debating a narrative? Because if we're debating some, you know, white Superman fucking narrative, then yeah, bro, fuck Josh Allen. He ain't shit. Yeah, that sounds cool, right? But if we're talking about the actual game, he didn't throw two picks like Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
He didn't look shook like Lamar Jackson. He did what he had to do to win that game, bro. And he just didn't win it, bro.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Hold on, real quick. It's the only point I'm gonna make, and I'm gonna shut the hell up. I'm gonna mute my own mic. Lamar crumbles in the biggest moments. As much as I love Lamar, and we called him Super Nigga all fucking season, bro, because that's what he looked like, and this is what we expected for him to go into Buffalo and to play the best game of the season, and we didn't get that. And I'm not saying that Josh Allen had the same game, that the 13-second game. I'm not saying he put up that performance, but he put up a good enough performance not to lose this game. And in the end, regardless of whatever happened, I know that football does not come down to one play, but in the end, when the perfect blitz was called and he had a free man in his face, and I was like, bro, what the hell is he doing? And he threw the ball. There was still an opportunity for the player to catch it. That's not on Josh Allen.
It is, though, FIFO, still. And like I said, two things can be true. It is on Josh Allen. What you said about that is right. I agree that, you know, things happen in that game, because I'm with you. I saw some crazy calls that could have went, you know, a different way a few different times in that game, just like everybody else did. We understand that there are circumstances to get to that point. Every play matters. But when you put a person that you got in the top two as far as quarterbacks go, in this year, just this year alone, and he's MVP category type person, we got to expect him to make a drive when you need it. That last drive, he should have scored. That's just
thank you. Line. That's all we said.
That's it.
I'm not even disagreeing with most of what you're saying, Q. Yeah. All I'm saying is, bro, if you would have told me that, again, I know people hate when I bring this nigga up, but still, hey, I'm sitting, I got to represent because nobody else
would. One drive.
If I said Joe Burrow, bro, you in the playoff game, bro, you got a one drive to score, win the game, or at least put you up. We got 2 minutes left.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm like, bro, over Patty Mahomes, I'm like, bro, I'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Okay. Because Patty on the sidelines. We can't talk about Patty at that point.
Okay, but like, Nick, I don't understand the larger point here. So the larger point is that, all right, we know that he didn't win the game, right? But neither did Joe Burrow. That's not the larger point.
So
what is the larger point here then? Josh Allen doesn't win the game and he's no longer top five? Is that what you're saying?
No. The larger point is, what has Josh Allen done?
What has Joe Burrow done? Did he win it? Did he win it? No. You hold that against everyone else who loses, right? Since everyone, he got paid and he didn't win shit. Why are you trying to hold this against Josh Allen? There's literally lore about Patrick Mahomes going down the field with like 90 seconds left.
Okay.
No one could have saw that. They had Tyreek Hill and they blew the game open.
But we just talked about Patty being Jordan. So we're not even discussing that because that just goes to his greatness, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, when I say, what has he done? When we ask Lamar Jackson, oh, Lamar, what have you done in your career? You can say, I won 2 to 3 MVPs. When you say Joe Burrow, what have you done for your career? I beat Patty Mahomes. I went to a Super Bowl. I lost. But I won the AFC once. If I ask you, Josh Allen, what have you done?
I just think that's a
flip. I want a few playoff games, bro.
I think that's a very joyless way to view sports. If you think that everybody, because I'm just using your metric, I don't subscribe to the shit that you have to win Super Bowls to be regarded as an amazing player. The same way you don't have to win NBA championships or any championship to be regarded as an amazing player. We use Super Bowls and NBA championships and World Series, that is a team accomplishment. It comes down to preparation, luck, injuries, and just skill. It's multiple factors that go into that. Because a guy can get hurt and your whole season's fucked. A guy can stay healthy, and just like we're seeing Saquon Barkley when he's had health issues in the past, having a historic year, you can boost a team's talent level over the top, and now we're a totally different beast with him on the roster. But if Saquon Barkley doesn't get the rushing record and if he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, is anyone going to come out their mouth and say that, yo, he wasn't a top five running back in his prime, or he wasn't a top three, top two? I don't look at sports like that. Josh Allen did everything he did with the cards he was handed. He didn't make mistakes, even if the Chiefs dropped the picks. Because now we're going to penalize people apparently for almost having picks now, which I get. But you can't say dude is Jordan in one breath and then get mad at another dude for losing to Jordan, bro.
Real quick, I was just going to say to Nick's point of what he's done, that's like asking people, like, to use an NBA equivalent. That's like asking Charles Barkley, what has he done? It's like asking Patrick Ewing, what has he done?
MVP, or Josh Stockton
or Malone. But yeah, they won MVPs, but they never reached their ultimate title. And the only reason is because they were playing in an era of a person who was different. Like, Patrick Mahomes is different. We know that. We see that. We look at it. We know that that's different. We comparing him to Tom Brady, who got 7 rings. Dude ain't even got nowhere near 7 rings yet, but we still put him in the conversation. We know that's different. I don't think that you can blame Josh Allen and say that, oh, man, you failed us because you couldn't beat Patrick Mahomes. Like, everything has to be perfect for him in order for this to work. And even on that last play, what he could have done better was call out that blitz. Like, maybe Patrick Mahomes would have seen that. He would have seen that cornerback coming. Maybe he would have switched the coverage and threw it to the motherfucker swing back and got it out there. But that's the difference between these two players.
Can I say 2 points? One, he can't be Josh Allen or Joe Burrow in the playoffs. That's two. That's 1 point. As far as, like, it's not just about beating Patrick Mahomes. It's beating about it's the fact that he couldn't even at home, he couldn't even beat Joe Burrow. He got dusted by Joe Burrow. The main point that I want,
Patrick Mahomes,
hold on, the main point that I want to make is the fact that Q said I'm looking at the game kid as an objectively hapless fan. When his team is in the Super Bowl, yeah, he's picking against them because of Vegas. So what fun are you going to get from the Super Bowl then, nigga?
Y'all love Patrick Mahomes.
While y'all were talking, I went back and looked at that last drive, 3 minutes and 33 seconds. We know that fourth down call by Spags was a hell of a call, a disguised blitz. Josh Allen didn't even see it coming.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Nick on those first three plays. Go look at them. It's an overthrow to a receiver who may or may not have ran the wrong route. The second play, he threw it into the defensive line that was almost picked off. And the third play was a screen against a blitz that wasn't a great throw that got him about 5 yards. Three plays. Yes, it is. Though he threw the ball that went over the receiver's head. He threw the ball into the defensive line that damn near got picked off. And then the 35 screen, he completed it, but he only got 5 yards off of it. So, and they put 29 points on the board. So before you even get to the fourth and five, he screwed up two other downs.
Thank you.
That's to be determined. We don't like that's.
I just looked at it. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that's to be determined in the fact that you don't know what could have happened internally, like with like the routes.
But
like,
that's the point, though.
We drink it tonight, Ken. He said yes.
Bro, I feel you, but it's like we don't know if the dude ran the wrong route. We don't know if he ran the right route. But that's just what the outcome was. It wasn't a good drive. It's like sometimes you just lose to better defensive talent. Like I don't think anybody's gonna look and be like, man, you lost to the 2000 Ravens and be like, damn, why couldn't you beat that defense? And then in retrospect, you see all those Hall of Famers. Oh, you lost to the Legion of Boom. Cause you like, bro. It's like
my thing.
He put up 29 points on that defense.
I don't understand. Yeah. But doesn't that go to Josh Allen's greatness that you can't do everything by yourself? Like you need your defense to get the Chiefs off the field on a third and five. And then when Piron's running wide open, you like if you're really a great team, there's a difference between great teams and great players that elevate teams. You know what I'm saying? And it's like across the board, the Buffalo Bills are not a great team. But they have a great quarterback, and they have solid players that played really good this year. They just ran into the greatest quarterback. Oh, y'all can't look me in my face and tell me that this nigga is the greatest fucking person you've ever seen wear cleats and then say that Josh Allen lost the game. Like, that's like that. That is impossible.
Y'all are hyping up Patrick Mahomes like he put
no
a touchdown.
He won. Like he's consistently proven.
I didn't ask him to be better than Patrick Mahomes.
But that is what you're saying, though.
That's what you're asking.
No. I asked him to be better than the Kansas City
Defense. Oh, win the fucking game.
Okay.
Against the defense. What are y'all talking about?
Is the Kansas City Defense Patrick Mahomes level great? No, they're not.
They have a Hall of Fame.
They gave up 28.
They have arguably one of the best playoff performers on defense in the history with Chris.
And they gave up 29 points. Go ahead, Shelton.
If you are the MVP and you got one drive, should you not be able to score points?
You would want to score, but bro, you can't always do that, bro. Life don't work like that.
I agree. But when you don't in this moment, shouldn't you get smoked?
Yes. Y'all are saying that like we had a 20-minute conversation just now about Spags being a Hall of Famer and the best defensive coordinator ever. This ain't the only thing. You're not just competing against a great entity like Patrick Mahomes. You're also going against a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator.
And
Patrick Mahomes.
Nigga, y'all are gonna pick. Everyone on this panel besides Sheldon is gonna pick the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So y'all the ones tell me that.
You don't know what the hell I'm about to do. Don't try.
I know you're gonna pick the fucking Chiefs, bro. You ain't about to pick no fucking Eagles with your whole chest, Nick. You're not picking no fucking Eagles.
Hey, I got paper out here. I'm crunching the numbers.
You crunching the parlay. How much did I bet on the case?
We're not even making picks this week, man. Q. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's the thing, you got a defense coordinator and a coach on the Kansas City
quarterback
that are Hall of Fame. You have y'all keep saying he's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived. So you have the greatest quarterback that's ever lived. You have arguably in many people's eyes, top five, top 10 coach ever. And you have one of the greatest defensive minds ever. Okay. So you can't tell me that Josh Allen gave the church's money away or dropped the church's money when you have all that going against you and you don't have any comparable talents on the other side. If anything, Josh Allen elevated this team, didn't turn the ball over, and he just didn't get it done, bro. It's just simple as that.
Everything that he could do to win, bro. Like, everything that he could have did, he did that to win that game.
It's just unfortunate, bro. Be like,
just look at that last. Go look at that last try.
Lou, do you give out, at it right now, Lou,
can I ask you a question real quick?
Before he didn't do everything he needed to do.
Lou, do you give out time and a half for your business? Because that's swear, bro. Y'all work late. On Nick, a bunch of Tuesday nights.
Josh Allen did everything that he could have did to
if he did everything, he would have won the game.
Bro, you're telling me he threw a catchable ball on 45.
He did though.
He dropped the ball. What are y'all talking about?
That's a tough play to come back to catch. That was a pretty good throw considering the pressure.
Hit him in the hands. Can't he get paid millions of dollars to catch a football?
I'm asking.
Josh Allen did that.
But what about the first? What about the first three downs? What about the first three downs?
But we're not even talking about the first three.
The first three downs matter.
I understand that, but if Kincaid makes this catch, we're not even talking about that. Hey, make the play. Because it comes down to making one more play than Kansas City. This is that opportunity. And Josh Allen, as the thrower of the ball, threw the ball to give his receiver an opportunity to make a play.
Hold on, Lou.
Mahomes got Kelsey, and Kelsey would have caught that.
Okay, that's fine. Let me ask you this, Sheldon. When we talked about the loss against the Ravens had against the Bills, did we not say something in the conversation where it's like, if it came down to Mark Andrews having to make a catch or a play, then Lamar fucked up, right? What are we doing?
Yeah.
On the roster. Lift. So you're supposed to make a mid-game trade to go get somebody better? This is why we were talking about how great Josh Allen was, because he was bringing the likes of the Dalton Kincaids, the Keon Colemans, whoever else is on that damn roster.
He elevated them.
Okay, come on, man. If we put Josh Allen on that Philadelphia roster, them boys averaging 35 a game.
That's fine.
And ain't losing a game.
But we can't have it both ways. You can't tell me they're good enough to get to the AFC Championship game and then say that they're not good enough to win the AFC Championship game.
It's not about not good enough. We're saying that, bro, sometimes the talent gaps matter, bro, in key moments. It's just simple like that, bro. Why is that like poison to your ears? The Indiana Pacers had amazing teams. Paul George, when Roy Hibbert was still a great player, you had George Hill, all these guys, right? And they ran against the Heat, bro. LeBron was just putting belt to ass. It's that simple, bro. And then when you shake his hand at the end of the game, six, game five, game seven, what's his name? Frank Vogel said, yo, we just ran into the Jordan of our era. And I guess for like the, you know, hardcore, you know, fan in you, you don't want to hear that shit. But, bro, that's just sometimes what it is. When you play against somebody who's better than you, like, yo, I can't really do anything with this dude, bro.
First of all, Frank Vogel, I ain't never going to be a hardcore fan for Frank Vogel. Let's keep that debate.
I just mean like basketball. Most hardcore fans of basketball don't want to hear a never say – they want to never say die type of mentality. Like, we'll get them next year. But, nigga, sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror after you get your ass whooped in the state championship and say, number 32 was fucking crazy, dude.
If I told you that Josh Allen was going to score 28-plus points on the Kansas City defense – and I told you that he had the last possession, 2 minutes left with three timeouts of the game to win or tie the game, would you say that, oh, he probably going to win that game?
Yes.
No. He should.
Because we seen it in the past.
Why would you bet against Patrick Mahomes?
The Bills.
Talk about
that. Nick. Why? See, no, Nick, that doesn't make sense. How can you say that and then say that Patrick Mahomes is the greatest? Like, I don't understand that.
Because you're trying to act again. I don't have to break down one QB to build up one QB.
We're not breaking anyone down.
That's the scenario you're telling me, because you're saying, like, how can I say Josh Allen is this?
If Karl Malone has the ball down one against the Bulls in Utah, you're telling me Michael's not going to come up with a steal? Michael's going to do whatever it takes to get the fucking ball back.
Y'all making horrible comparisons, because we're not. I'm not comparing the QBs. I'm comparing Josh Allen to that defense. And that defense gave up 28 plus points, FIFO. So when I see that Josh that Allen is
Josh
moving,
Allen. You can't give him the credit exactly. And then take it away.
Exactly.
They're going to give up 29 points to one of the best players in the league.
Am I crazy again?
You're not. We have to move on. We have to move on.
Man, what is
I replayed that last throw, Spike. First of all, it was a hell of a throw.
And I got it on screen. I got it on screen right now.
I just looked at it. That wasn't as much of a catchable ball it was, as you guys make it seem.
What? Oh, my God.
Did it not hit both his hands?
It's in his hands, and there's no one around him.
He had to come back to get the football.
No, bro. Dive and get it.
He paid millions of dollars to go make that catch.
No, he's not. You don't know how much Dalton Kincaid get paid.
I'm looking at it right now. He had to stop.
Millions.
He had
starting tight end.
First of all, that was a good ass throw by Josh Allen.
It was literally a blown coverage. All he had to do.
Well, it's blown coverage because of the blitz. But if he would have had more time, he would have nailed it. Bro, but the ball fell short.
Yeah, it was short.
Like, bro,
look at
the ball right there. The ball's right there. That would have still been first down. It would have been a first down.
It would have been, but you're asking him to do a lot.
Oh my God! So like, bro, y'all
asking Josh Allen?
Look at this. This ball is
on Josh.
Like it's on the 35 yard line.
How is that on Josh?
This is racism. Nah, I'm fucking with y'all. But the issue here is that y'all are replying to a narrative, bro. And it's like I don't want to debate a narrative about Josh Allen being better than Patrick Mahomes or being whatever. But I'm talking about just the game, bro. Josh Allen elevated his team to a situation that just didn't work out, bro. He put up 29 points. That defense, at the end of the day, the defense that the Kansas City Chiefs have, they are coached to do whatever it takes in key moments, in high leverage moments, to execute. And just sometimes, bro, the Hall of Fame talent, the Hall of Fame mind is going to win out over – can you even name the fucking offensive coordinator for the Bills? Can anybody here name it?
Joe Brady.
And is Joe Brady better than Spags in terms of the talent?
No.
So why the fuck
all I was going to ask you, all I was going to ask you, Q, is that do you think the Kansas City defense is better than Josh Allen?
I think that the Kansas City defense is coached by a better coach than
the
offense.
All that extra shit.
I even went back to that play. Last one, man. Who is the biggest winner of these playoffs among non-NFL players? Who is the biggest loser of these playoffs among non-NFL players? So you're talking about coaches, GMs, owners, fans, et cetera.
Who's the biggest winner and loser of non-NFL players?
Well, non-players.
Howie Roseman.
Howie Roseman is 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I'm not saying that because it's Eagles. I'm just being honest. The way he built this roster, to bring in a Zach Bond, who was a special teams player, in
New Orleans,
to bring in arguably the greatest free agent sign of all time, Saquon. This stuff is just crazy. The draft that he had, all these draft picks, even Jalen Hunt, who was the third rounder, everybody questioned, including myself, like, who is this big dude? Came up big in these games, man. And it's crazy that every move he made, the only move that he made that we could kind of question a little bit is Bryce Huff. And Bryce Bryce is up. Bryce, you know, spent a lot of time in garbage time. But other than that, Howie Roseman has just been a magician to bring all those guys in and make
trading up for Coop. But regardless, I know y'all tired of hearing Eagle shit. So the losers for me would probably be the Giants GM, most definitely.
I agree.
I don't see how.
Is it just the teams? The losers, we mean in the playoffs or just
In general.
For sure. Definitely the Giants are huge losers there. I think that
that's
winners,
not the biggest loser, though, Q. The biggest loser is
Jerry
fucking Jones.
The Cowboys.
Jerry Jones. Because think about it.
Yes.
I'm not saying McCarthy is the greatest head coach of all time. I think offensively he's really good. Situationally, he's relatively poor. You know what I'm saying? Or just above average.
Yes.
But true. Then you didn't retain him. Right?
Right.
So it was
not
this
only
weird
did you
period.
Not retain him, you got a worse coach. Exactly. So you had this weird period of not allowing him to go interview somewhere else, so that way you could just move on, you know what I'm saying, and get somebody that you actually wanted versus Schottenheimer, the son of Marty.
It's embarrassing.
Oh my god. And it's, so, and this here's
daddy,
the thing.
This nigga daddy a loser, and we expect him to come in. This is
that's disrespectful. No, it's 100% respect. He's putting respect on his name. That's how bad
I remember his daddy. His daddy a loser, bro.
We know that Jerry Jones is always out there, right? This man he'll be on podcast, TV shows, all of this type of stuff. When did they make this hire? When did they announce it? 10 p.m. Friday. They want nobody night, to know.
Yeah,
they want nobody to know.
And in the Deion Sanders conversation, he ended up coming back saying like that was like a fake interview. Basically, is what Jerry said. If you saw the press conference I sent earlier when they announced his son, nobody clapped. Everybody just looking, including Jerry. So it's just a shit show there, man.
Man, Jerry's having some like dementia moments on some Joe Biden shit, bro. Like, you know, he's talking about how he's no longer Brian, he's the Cowboys coach. It's like, yo, he's speaking in like idioms and shit now. It's crazy.
Yeah. That press conference felt like a Biden like thing.
Yeah, bro.
Looking at it like, what the fuck is dude talking about, bro? Like, why is he here?
He's out there like Mitch McConnell. The biggest issue for Jerry Jones is what a lot of people in power face is he doesn't have nothing around him but yes men. There's nobody around him to tell him like you're a fool. You know what I'm saying? And when you don't have somebody in your corner that kind of bounce off ideas, and you can tell that these dudes probably just sit around listening to him. But if you don't have anybody to bounce ideas off, you get these crazy things happening. Everybody think they're GM. Everybody think they can do whatever. Just because you got money don't mean you're good at running an organization. From a football standpoint, now business wise, because me and Q talk about business all the time, this is a business, and Dallas Cowboys is the biggest business going today. So Jerry, that's bravo on that part. But you that's need somebody to handle. Yeah, he needs somebody to handle the football part of the business.
Yeah,
there's
two different things between the football part and the business part. Yes. The unfortunate part of being a Cowboys fan and seeing Jerry do what he do is that it works. It works in the sense of social media. It works in the sense of the Cowboys are the most valuable team from any sports franchise. So you can't walk in an office and tell Jerry Jones, hey, bro, you're doing the wrong thing, because he's going to tell you, I'm a businessman. I made an investment, and that investment is worth $10 billion, literally like $10 billion today. But if someone were to come in there and talk to him on a football premise, he'd be like, nah, what you're doing isn't working. He couldn't listen to that because he don't understand the football premise of it. Even though he think he know football, even though he think he can be a coach or whatever it may be, there's a football aspect of this that's missing from Jerry's brain, and that's what's detrimental to the Cowboys.
And I get the Giants part of it too, because they gave up Saquon for little or nothing, but you weren't going to win much with Saquon at that, for that matter.
But you did some capital for it, though.
You can't let him go to Philly, though.
That's the biggest part.
My thing,
for nothing.
Yeah, I think the obvious one would probably be the Giants.
Falcons.
I was going to say
Jets.
Losers? The Falcons?
Yeah. Falcons signing is it looks embarrassing to me. Like I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but it's embarrassing when you draft and then you sign this guy and then you say, you know what? Nah, we're gonna let Penix get the reins for the last like three, four weeks it was. So I just think that looks kind of incompetent on the GM side, if that's the ownership or blank stepping in and wanting Kirk or whoever. Those are like my biggest losers, because they were unforced errors.
Yeah, but I feel like they were bigger losers. I don't disagree that the Falcons thing was a little weird, especially not playing Penix a little bit earlier, because we saw we knew Kirk wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? The man was already immobile before the injury, and he looked like he was playing in a phone booth.
Like, bro, you tear an Achilles at 36, and you say, sign him to 100+. Like, that's a little
only reason why I can see you leaning on not being a loser with that Falcons take is because they did some goofy shit in drafting Penix. if they drafted just a defensive end and still made the same moves they did, that's the biggest loser. Organization. You know what I'm saying? Thing we have is the hope in a QB that we don't even know much about just yet.
Yeah, they saw some stuff in Penix to where I think that he'll be okay. Mine, I look at teams, like I said, I look at the Jets, because you talked about a team that everybody had making the playoffs and making a run, even being a Super Bowl contender, to being nothing and stuck in Albatross with a few people that they only want to deal with. And you look at a team like San Francisco where the wheels just completely fell off.
And like, that was injury days. And like, what? And like, what can you trade Aaron Rodgers for? Like a bag of mushrooms and some ayahuasca?
Right.
I still low key fuck with Aaron Rodgers because he always makes sure his niggas get paid, Lou. I know you always shake your head, but how many niggas is putting money in Randall Cobb's pockets or Alan Lazard? I'm gonna say this. Arguably, a biggest loser is the Miami Dolphins. Because I'll tell you this right now, Shelton. I'd rather be the Jets than the Dolphins. Because at least I know I can restart next year.
You got more assets.
Tyreek already won out of there. We already know two ain't shit.
He said he spoke too soon. He said he was just frustrated.
No, he so wanted to get out of there. He just had to correct that. But he definitely wants out. But
that's how he really feels.
If we're talking about winners, the Washington management group, everyone that was involved with the acquisition of that.
Magic Johnson.
Big winners. Bob Myers, Magic Johnson, the Eagles, the Sixers owners, Josh Harris, you know what I'm saying? He's there. Shout out to that investment group because they took the reins away from Snyder and they turned this around in 1 year.
Immediately.
Shout out to the GM who saw Jaden Daniels and thought that he was better than Caleb. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So – Chicago is one of those management groups that is in to be determined because we got to see what Johnson does with Caleb. But right now, I think Jaden Daniels has kind of silenced a debate. It's up to Caleb next year to make it a debate now, and there's really no excuse now.
And also, you got to give shout out to the Vikings organization. Kevin O'Connell making me believe that, bro. He did that with Kirk Cousins. He did that with Sam Darnold.
No, he's an amazing coach.
Like JJ was low key looking different in the preseason before he got hurt. So yeah. JJ with JJ, you know what I'm saying?
You know
that could be interesting next year.
An interesting one for me in this topic is the 49ers. I don't know if I gotta pay. Yes, I don't know if I can afford to pay Brock Purdy the amount of money that he's going to be looking for.
Right.
Like he's a free agent. I don't know what Debo Samuels is. I don't know about Christian McCaffrey. I'll go into Nick bag even with the head coach. I don't know now at this point if he's good. Like, so I have all these pending questions, and I was just competing for a Super Bowl a year ago. And now, like, we won 7 games. I don't know if I got my quarterback. I don't know if I got my running back. I don't know any of these things. And it got scary real quick.
And he may be the third best. He may have the third best team now in his division.
They did just bring.
It got scary real quick for the 49ers.
Real quick.
They brought Saleh back. So we'll see if they can get some of their defensive identity back from like 2 years ago. But it's looking a little scary. Another winner, I would say, is Tampa Bay. Just for having a bridge QB in like Baker, but Baker outperformed going from we have to remember where we were with Baker just 3-4 years ago. He's terrible, won't be in the league, career backup. Two people had him cusp top 12 MVP. Some people for like 6-7 weeks he was like an MVP conversation. So shout out to him, and plus he also helped Mike Evans get his 1,000 yards, and I think that they have a bright enough future. To where if they beef the defense up a little bit more, because they were getting run.
They're not winning nothing.
Last
point, we got to.
I didn't give a winner. For me, I'm going to go with the Raiders. And the reason being, you look at the other coaches in that division, they're all Hall of Famers, and now they got a Hall of Fame coach as well. And we know, even if they don't win nothing, it's going to reset the table for stability for that franchise. We know that Pete Carroll is one of those guys that he's a builder. I think, and I wanted to bring this up earlier, But Shelton, my Max Crosby take ain't so fucking ridiculous now. They should have traded him in the middle of the season because they could have got more into this draft. But it is what it is. I think that they are going to blow it up. I think they're going to take it all the way down to the studs, you know what I'm saying, and then just rebuild with Pete Carroll. So I think when you have, what is it, John Harbaugh? No, Jim Harbaugh. Which one?
Jim. John is
Jim. Jim Harbaugh. Got you. So now you got Jim Harbaugh over there. You got Andy Reid, and you got Sean Payton. Golly, getting a guy like Pete Carroll, that is a win.
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick question for y'all before we switch. Do y'all consider Detroit winners or losers this year?
Losers. They losers.
I think they're winners. I think they're winners.
Because they lost Aaron Glenn and they lost Ben Johnson. They had a really good season, but overall, moving forward, they're losers. And not saying that they're going to be a bad franchise. They're just not going to be what they were. So we need to see what their identity is.
At worst, I think they're to be determined because we, like I said,
a couple weeks ago,
we are in the transition point where we're going to see if Detroit has a management group with foresight and if they were grooming guys underneath Johnson and Glenn that are going to take over. We're going to see if there's really a coaching tree farming system here for them to flourish, or is it all just on the coordinators and Dan Campbell's a mascot? That's going to be what we see next year. So I still think they're winners just because they were able to go as far as they did with the injuries that they had, which I think is apparent now, especially when you look at Washington, what happened with the Eagles. But next year is going to be the moment of truth. Is Dan Campbell truly a coach that can motivate and organize, or is he just, you know what I'm saying, just a mascot?
Well, they're naturally going to fall off.
I was just going to say, what's the 401k plan like at the bail bondsman office? I may want to put in an application because you over here, bro.
Nick want to hear me be like, man, fuck him, man. He trash. You know what I'm saying? That nigga ain't shit. That nigga trash. And that don't make good.
I was torn, though.
I don't ask none of y'all to do none of that. I just ask y'all to keep it a bean.
I am keeping it a bean, man.
All right, because y'all about to go another 20 minutes on this.
I was talking though because Super Bowl of bust.
Birdman at 5-0. Well, that went out when they lost half their team to IR. At least it should have been with people in any sense. Should have known that. Never forget Shelton hype at halftime 2 years ago.
Hey, Birdman, I ain't forget that either. That hurt. That broke my heart.
It broke our heart.
No one spoke about Joe Burrow being the number one pick before his LSU season. Trevor and Caleb were talked about for years before their draft.
There's sense in the world. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's just because it's with schools, bro.
We don't give a fuck about Joe Burrow right now, man.
This nigga was an Ohio State commit. Like, he just left Ohio State because he didn't fuck with the coaching staff. It ain't like he was a scrub.
He couldn't start. He didn't leave them. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't want to see a Chiefs three-peat or Jalen Hurts winning a ring. I'm going to the movies that day. Protect your mental health.
That's a hater. That's a hard shit right there. Like, check on him. We need to do a check on him.
Kendrick performing, and we all want to see that not like us.
Especially with the academics, I can't wait to that nigga come out to that not like us, bro.
It's gonna be a New Orleans bounce.
Remember when Nick said Eckler was the number one running back in the NFL?
Little baby ass hands, baby hand Eckler out here fumbling in key moments.
New information. I ain't
he got that scary movie two hand getting punched out. Like,
he wasn't number one this year for me, Chuck. I'll tell you.
I know, right? Hey.
He wasn't on the list.
He was going to them tutties then, though. I know.
That was during fantasy. We in the playoffs now. That's different.
I thought the same thing.
Josh Allen had 4 minutes to win the game or at least get a field goal, and he couldn't get it done. This loss is on Josh Allen.
Thank you. There's sense in the world.
Not go back there.
There's sense in the world.
That's it.
Rayshon Davis is crazy.
Who is more happier for the Bills' loss, Shamik Moore or Stephon Diggs?
Got to be Stephon Diggs.
It's just fine.
Shanique made me a creep because he over here trying to
I don't even know who Shanique Moore is.
I don't
know who it is. Who is that?
Shanique Moore is the dude. Shanique Moore is the dude who plays Spider-Man in the animated series.
Yeah.
If you've seen him, there's a whole running joke that Josh Allen's fiance is in. Like she's like a movie star. She was also in Spider-Man.
That's who she is.
Yeah, her name is Haley Steinfeld. So her name is Haley Steinfeld, and she curbs Shanique Moore. Shanique Moore was all in these interviews, like flirting with her, because their characters are like in relationships. You know what I'm saying?
Now that's funny.
Yeah.
But then when she seen that, when you see Shanique Moore or you see Josh Allen, you be like,
Shanique Moore was on like an Essence cover doing all this shit, and like it was crazy as fuck, man.
Yeah. Josh Allen won then, Q, because
That guy, is she black? Wait, is she black? Josh Allen?
No, she's
Shanique Moore is, but
Shanique Moore black, but she's a cute girl.
That guy Cardo. I live in Dallas, but not a Cowboys fan. I can tell you these fans are going through it. Folks look like they're ready to self-delete. You know, the interesting thing about the Cowboys is that they get just as much attention for losing as they do for winning.
And that's why Jerry
not changing. He ain't changing nothing.
Yeah,
this is one of the darkest realizations as a Cowboys fan in this whole generation. Like, he don't give a fuck. Like, Jerry does not give two fucks about winning, bro.
Hey, that was dark, dog.
Like, it just hit Q. I've been having to deal with this for this shit. He don't care, bro.
Cowboys fan.
Want to go do Landman fucking features and shit like that. He don't give a fuck about it.
I thought Jerry said he was all in. Didn't Jerry say he was all in?
My thing, Lou was foul. He was talking about somebody to put some in his drink.
they need to hit him like your mans did on Breaking Bad. They rolled the wheelchair in there with the bomb and just
put some rat poison in them. Cowboys fans like Spike. That's so sad, bro.
Lou, hang in there, bro.
Lou, that shit is so sad, bro.
Well, that's the show. We appreciate everybody coming through. We'll do a Super Bowl preview next week. We'll catch you guys then. We out. Peace.
Peace.